member of the body of Christ is important. There's not one. That's not. I want to take you to James tonight. Chapter 1. So, Father, we humble ourselves tonight. We want to say thank you for all that you've done. Not always comprehending what you do or how you do it, but definitely aware of your grace to us. In Jesus' name. The verse that was bouncing at me this afternoon was verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." Now, Sunday, we talked about the reality of the church coming alive in Christ. Every member, every part of the body was created by the Father. And his plan is to make sure that this church that he's building will complete its mission. And we talked about the preordination of each member, coordinated by the Holy Spirit. If you weren't here, just go on the internet. It should be on there by now because my sister put it on there, so you get a chance to rehearse it if you have to. The bottom line, as I was listening today, many years ago I had I've had many different spiritual teachers in my life. Some of them were big irritations for a while until I finally understood what they were after. They were after me humbling myself and bending my knee a little bit. And I didn't always understand at the beginning. But one of the words that kept coming through one of these vessels was exactly that word. You can receive a word from the Lord and you can let it sit. You can let it sit and never activate it because it's always for somebody else. Somebody else is more important than you. After all, who am I? And that might sound very humble, but it is really false humility. Real humility will say, "I heard the word from the Lord. Now, Father, give me the courage to carry it out. And give me the wisdom to do the work that you've called me to do." Not to pass the buck. Because you see, this false humility is so popular, after all. If so and so is the anointed one, who am I? Are you a part of the body of Christ? And if you are, walk in it. If you are a part of the body of Christ, then you have a job to do that's designated and orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, specializing your talents and your giftings. They're not going to be like your neighbor. They might be similar, but they're not going to be like your neighbor. They're going to be different. So, I was listening to a gentleman on a DVD this afternoon, and I remember the very first time that I saw this man under an anointing of the Lord, and I've shared this with you. The anointing that was on that man was an anointing that had hit me a few times, and I was so uncomfortable with it that I wanted to shut it down. Can anybody raise their hand? Why shut it down? What causes us to shut down the power and the anointing of the Lord just because we don't feel humble or worthy or whatever? Whatever lie that has come that we have swallowed that stops us from doing what the Word tells us to do. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And repeat after me. Do not merely listen to the Word. And so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Now, you've just declared a part of that scripture. What is the word that you receive that you might have held back and stopped a blessing from coming on someone else? Anyway, I'm not sure. 86, 87. In December, I began to have a real strong urge to tell my wife that we were going to take her dad down to PTL. We had a few days at the hotel that were available to us. And so I told her about this because the word had come. What was the word? Take your father-in-law on a trip. Now, a few weeks before and a few months before that, we had asked him to go to Canada. Oh, he was too sick. He didn't feel up to it. Go see the relatives up in Montreal. No, he didn't feel up to it. And even going to visit one of her cousins in Holyoke. No, not up to it. Well, to make a long story short, I told my wife, I said, I think he's going to come because I think God's going to activate him because I had a word that somebody gave me that I was going on a trip. And the only trip that I've got in my heart is to take your dad. She says, Kim, he won't even go 300 miles. How is he going to go 900? I said, well, if with God, nothing is impossible. And so, to make a long story short, a few weeks later, I had a nudge. How many know there's a nudge? It's also a word from the Lord. So I said, Pep, how would you like to take a ride down to the program we watch once in a while on TV? He says, oh, to go see Jim Baker? I says, yeah. Would you like to take a ride? Yeah, it would be fun, he says. Irene almost dropped the pans in the kitchen. It went clinkety clank, 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 clank. So that night she says, okay, now you're going to put your foot in your mouth. When are we going? Well, I said, I think it'll probably be, you know, the end of February or something like that, when the weather starts getting a little better. So anyway, we went. The first night we got there on a Sunday night, he was as happy as a brand new $2 bill. We had an awesome time. We went in and we listened to this lady that... her name was Rev Ev Carter. Anybody ever remember Rev Ev? She was a black lady. She was a very, very nice lady. We had seen her several times. She had written a few books, and I had read one of them for sure. The book was No Ground. It surely changed my life. It was really saying, don't give in to anything that the darkness has to say. Don't agree with it. Well, we sat, when we walked in, to the right of the center stage, they had a camp meeting every single night. It was on national television. And we sat, we were there reasonably early. The program began, Rev Ev began to teach, and we did this Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. On Wednesday night, we were invited over to some of our friends that had just moved down there for a turkey dinner. And those of you who heard this, just bear with me because I'm sensing somebody needs to hear it. So my thought was, I really would like to go back and listen to the next level of the teaching that's going on Wednesday night, but I didn't want my father-in-law to miss out on a turkey dinner. Because that's his favorite meal. He would walk a mile, 2 miles, 10 miles for a turkey dinner. So we went over to our friends, we had a nice dinner, and right after dinner, her husband says, Kim, you guys know that Rev. Ev Carter is teaching there tonight? I says, yeah. He says, did you guys go Monday and Tuesday? I said, yeah, we went Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He said, well, would you like to go? I said, I'd love to. So it's an answer to prayer. But we got late. Well, anybody knows that when you get there late, now the gate where we went in on each night on the right was blocked because that section was full. My father-in-law had trouble with his legs. So we ended up on the left-hand side, and we went up like four little stagings. And sure enough, sat down, and Rev Ev started the program. The music was already playing. But we did get to sit, and sure enough, Rev Ev steps out in the front, and she says, and she's looking right to where we were sitting. And I'm not exaggerating. My spirit started to jump. Now I'm sitting over there, but she's looking over here, or vice versa. So she's aiming to that side of the room, and we're like third row up. Well, she says, I had a word for somebody, and I think I might have missed God. Well, Lord, I just don't know if I missed it. Well, and all of a sudden, she turns around, and she sees me, and she starts to yell, there you are! Did you know it was you? Of course, I knew it was me. I was vibrating from the top of my head to the very bottoms of my toes. So out she blurts her prophetic word. Did you hear me? Do not merely listen to the word so to deceive yourselves. Do what it says. She had already confessed. She had had the word. Now, I don't know whether it was Monday, Tuesday, or Sunday that she had the word. But she hadn't given it Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. And I almost didn't make it on Wednesday. What am I telling you? You may not have a second chance. That word was so precious to me, I still have the tape. Because it was forecasting God's plan for me down the road. And I'll be honest with you, I struggled with that word. Some of the words that you may have received, you can struggle with. I don't have a problem with you struggling with a word. What I have a problem with is when you get a word and you hold it and you don't give it. And you rob the person, whomever it is designed for. You steal from the body of Christ. And you get away with it because of false humility. I'm not worthy to give out a word. Duff cookies. Well, it's true. What is this unworthiness? Where is it coming from? Is it a gift from God? What if that lady had not given me that word? What if? Would I be here tonight? Yeah, because God would have gotten through to somebody else. But you know what? It's a poor excuse. You hear me? It's a poor excuse. Just because you may not feel worthy, you may not feel adequate, you may not think of yourself that you're not anybody. I've got news for you, God uses nobodies. Try it on for size. Close your eyes one more time. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, in spite of your emotions. In spite of what you think about yourself.
In spite of what you think about yourself.
Do the word.
Do the word.
Activate your faith.
Activate your faith.
person needs. So that God will get the glory, not you. When we came home, my father-in-law was like a brand new commercial. Everybody he met, he didn't shut up about how awesome it was to be on that vacation. My wife was overwhelmed. She said, you know what? Even when he decided that we were going, I didn't believe how sweet it would be. He enjoyed the whole process, the whole from beginning to end. And a little while later, he went home to be with Jesus. But you know what? There were seeds of life that went into that man that would have never been able to go in at any other time. At the close of the service, she calls me down to the front platform, and I am shaking from the tip of my toes to the top of me. The anointing was on me so strong. And he said, she gave us instructions. She asked a few other pastors to come down with me, because I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was a counselor at that time. I was working at Grace Church. And my father-in-law had excellent vision. He was watching his son-in-law. Now you got to think about this. He is a Roman Catholic, hasn't been to church for many years because he didn't feel up to it. And now he's watching his son-in-law, who has a word from a lady that's from California, never seen or talked to him. He knows this is true. It's on national television, and now the cameras are rolling. And his son-in-law is going to be praying for the very first person that comes to him. So a person comes down the center aisle. I lift up my hands. The lady puts her two hands in my hands. I begin to pray. She goes, "Tchoo!" And my father-in-law went, and lost his breath. He never once spoke to me about it. But he talked to everybody in the family. Why? Because somebody did the word. Somebody did what the word says to do. I challenge you. I challenge you. Does it have to be a word out of the scripture? Or does it have to be a word coming into your heart to do? It could be both. It could be a dream. It could be a vision. It could be an inspiration. Do the word. Worry about the results later. Give the glory to him, and the rest will fall into place. Close your eyes now. Father, you showed me that this afternoon. And now I ask you to activate their hearts. And if they've been struggling with self-worth and values and all kinds of things that have held them back, Father, they might be too old, they might be too young, they might be this and that. They might not think they qualify. But your blood, Lord Jesus, has already qualified them. Your blood has washed them clean from the top of their heads to the very bottoms of their feet. And I decree into their hearts tonight, when you hear the word, when you speak the word, activate and do what he tells you to do. Because you're not disobedient to me. You're just robbing somebody else of a blessing. And all of God's people said, amen. May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel continue to bless you as you go forth in this night. And in tomorrow, as you hear, activate, and do. As you hear, activate, and do. Be blessed. Share some hugs with each other. Are there any other words that needed to be spoken? David, it's really great to have you here.
I had no intention of coming tonight. Maybe another couple weeks.
Yep.
It's just out over Jackie's house.
Yep.
She was maybe a quarter mile away. She says, Gramps, she says, you're coming tonight, right? I says, I don't think so. I said, usually I sit up for maybe a half an hour watching the History Channel or something like that.
Yeah.
And then back into the same mattress, you know? back and forth, you know. She says, you're going to feel like $1 million. And she knows the good medicine.
Well, we're truly blessed to have you home.
Thank you all for your prayers.
Oh, you're just a very special man and you don't even realize it. Thank you for being who you are. Okay. Anyone else?
Yep.
Yes, dear. Go for it.
Psalms 23.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Psalms 1:3.
Oh, 1:3. 13.
And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water.
Yes.
That bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Psalm 1, verse 3.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You know, it may sound like I saw the vision of my father-in-law at PTL. That's how come I went to that story again. But, you know, it's like stories that don't make sense unless you've lived them. But they'll activate someone else's heart. It's not all about what God did with me. It's what God does with everybody. You're all special. Every single one of you. There's not one that he doesn't love. He loves each one equally. He really does. And your value is so much more than what you conceive or perceive. And I was brought up in a church that had extreme low self-esteem, and they stepped on us if we just stepped out of line just a quarter of an inch, and we had to repent for 3 months. Okay? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But that's okay. When it's time for God to lift you up, he lifts you up. And he lifts you out if necessary. Be blessed. Thank you for obeying. Anyone else?
Bread was broken tonight. It looked like two wings to me. But then I was looking at it and I said, oh my God, it looks like a butterfly. And I just kept staring at it because even the holes were unique. And I was like, wow. And then I just shared with Nancy and I felt like this was a new beginning for everybody who was going to be breaking bread tonight. I just feel like God's going to do something really unique.
Something very unique. And it's Nancy's fault, you know.
She goes, well, guess what? I've seen, and then I said,
well, you see, again, it's a matter of hearing the word and doing, because when I looked at the bread, I said, Lord, what do you want? And he said, slice it the long way. Of course, it made noise because the dish, I don't know, buckled or toppled or whatever it did. And I pulled quite a few people out of the spirit. But that's all I heard was just cut it in the long way. You know, just slice it and then lay it open. So, you know, there are times that I have done things just simply because I heard and I have done. The results are not mine. They're not. It's nothing to do with me. I think Gail had a nice test one time when she refused raisin bread because it didn't make sense. Now she's obedient. Just doesn't care. I mean, it's not important what your reasoning says, you know. And it was funny because she repented that night because the Lord had showed me a scripture in King David where King David was wanting to bless the people of Israel, and he had every family go home with a raisin bread. And when I shared that, this one here, I'm so sorry!
The Lord showed me the bread. I walked right by it at the grocery store, and he said, that's the one. I said, no way. I'm not buying that bread. And it was the right bread.
Now, will he still bless in spite of your lack of discernment, maybe? Because it might be your lack of discernment that caused you to stop. Or your religious brain. You know, anybody else have a religious brain? We have a brain that goes with all the traditions of church. And then we have a normal brain. Well, the brain that's normal says, okay, raisin bread, no big deal. But the religious brain says, well, you can't bring raisin bread into the house of the Lord after all. It's not part of my tradition. I'll give you another one that was really wild. Back when we were at Grace, now that has to be 8, 9, 10 years ago, whatever. And the Holy Spirit told one of the girls during a Passover feast to bring a container of grapes. And so when it came time for communion, we had individual grapes with the little top cut off, okay, and a small piece of bread. So that's what was on the table. So we took communion with grapes and bread. Now my religious brain went, tilt. Okay, Lord, how does this fit? So I said, well, it would be really nice if you would confirm this to us. A few months later, we're down at Gateway. The pastor gets up. He says, we went to some friend's house and they kind of blew us out of the water when we took Holy Communion this past week because they gave us bread and wine, but the wine came in the original cup. I flipped out. We had done the same thing. But we were questioning our religious brain. We came home laughing and smiling and saying, we did too, but we didn't call it original cup because the container is the grape. The juice is inside. What's so hard about that? But it was true because they told us, and, you know, just you heard the word, do it. I rest my case. Enjoy each other. Have a hug. Have a hug. At least one.